over there, over there. Send the word over there. That the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming. The drums rum coming everywhere. So prepare.
When George N. Cohan wrote this rousing number, Americans were enthralled by the patriotic soundtrack that accompanied the war effort. But before America joined the war, before the sinking of the Lusitania, the nation was reluctant to join the fight over there. And that mood, too, was reflected in popular songs, like this one, I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier.
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy. Who dared to place a musket on his shoulder?
Musician Dale Evans is giving a presentation about World War I songs Saturday at the McLean County Museum of History. He has a large collection of sheet music of the era, and he says this anti-war song was popular with the pacifist movement prior to the U.S. entry into World War I. The song, in fact, was a real hit. Then, once America got into the war, it was a hit again, with a twist.
They changed the title of that to, It's Time for Every Boy to Be a Soldier.
So and you could have the same cadence.
You could have the same cadence, the same song, they just changed the words.
It's time for every boy to be a soldier, to put his strength and courage to the test.
How important was sheet music at this time? And we didn't have radio.
Well, this is the thing. So now this was at the point. Now, I've got sheet music from before this. I mean, like my collection starts like in the 1890s. I think a few things came together. Printing got a lot better. There were a lot more publishing houses. And the Victrola was the technology of the time. I mean, this, and a lot of people still had pianos in their houses. So you've got these piano benches with full of sheet music, and someone said there was about 4,000 titles written during World War I. So, you know, you've got a market for those. But the Victrola was the way, that's how you heard mass music, you know. And of course, movies were silent, so you didn't have the movie musical that you had 20 years later.
Well, certainly movies had a role in influencing how people felt about the war. How could sheet music and popular song influence us and how we felt about getting involved in World War I?
Well, here again, this was, you know, this was the era of vaudeville. You know, Bloomington was a vaudeville stop and central Illinois. So, you know, you had these people coming through and singing the songs, promoting the war or promoting patriotism. And from there, you know, it traveled all over by the rails.
By the fact that we're all in a theater together and we're hearing these songs being sung together, did that work us up into more of a frenzy than if we had been at home alone with a piano playing Goodbye Broadway, Hello France?
It probably did. You know, you had what we call community sings, okay? And they were wildly popular. And you would get together, and these would be some of the songs that they would sing. Also, a few of the well-known European artists, they would come over here. McLean County Historical Society has this great picture of Harry Lauder, who was one of the top English music halls.
Yes, yeah.
And he was there, standing there at the railroad station in his kilt and his Scottish garb, and he came to promote the British war effort. It's a great moment in local history because he was known worldwide, and
he was the Jay-Z of his time.
Exactly. Okay.
Let's talk about some of the styles of songs that were popular during World War I. And I think probably one that we can easily remember is by George M. Cohan.
Right.
Over there.
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Johnny, show the Hun you're a son of a gun. Hoist the flag and let her fly. Yankee Doodle, do or die. Pack your little...
Half of the songs have the words over there in the title. There's one right...
We'll do our share.
We'll do our share while you're over there.
Who wrote that?
Gosh, who knows? Words by Lou Brown and Al Harriman, which I don't know.
I have no idea.
But, you know, the words over there are very common in a lot of World War One songs. It was almost like a code, you know, that was a catchword over there. And you'll find a pattern after a while that a lot of these songs there, some of them are funny and they will do a little play on words, mm-hmm. but they come back to either over there, Ma, apple pie, and the flag, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the patriotism, you know, I'm sending my boy over there. I hope he comes back. My daddy's over there. Say a prayer for my daddy over there.
I think there was also quite a lot of Kaiser bashing going on.
Oh, yeah.
With
yes,
songs. With
I've got
know.
One title in my little collection. It's called We'll Make the Kaiser Goose Dip to a Good Old American Rag.
They'll make him dance for fair, and I'd sure like to be there when the Kaiser does a goose step to a good old American rag. They'll play a jerky and make Bill walk turkey and salute that grand old flag. He'll be wiser when he two steps to the tunes of Yankee Land. Our foxtrots.
Well, you needed a villain, but the thing is, here again, you've got to think about the times. World War One, for all, you know, if you want to simplify it, it was a family feud that got out of hand because all the royal families were related. The Tsar, the Kaiser, and King George, they were cousins. They were first cousins. So the Kaiser, he was a tyrant, but he was no Hitler. He was not a psychopath. He was a villain, but he was also a very learned person. And by the way, he spoke perfect English. He could sell insurance at State Farm if he was around nowadays, you know.
You've got a nice pile there of sheet music,
right.
And you have one that I've always wanted to hear, Goodbye Broadway, Hello France.
Goodbye Broadway, hello France, 15 million strong. Goodbye sweethearts, wives and mothers, it won't take us long.
That had to have been hugely popular because there's so many copies of that in antique stores today.
This was another theme that we owed France for our independence, so now we're going to pay them back.
It has
Lafayette,
a real,
we are here.
It has a real sort of bon vivant kind of feel to this song, and you have this wonderful image of an American soldier shaking hands with
General Pershing and General Joffre.
And they're shaking hands across the Atlantic.
Right.
But, and it also kind of goes along with that sort of like chipper sort of feel that a lot of people went into this war not knowing the horrors
naive.
That were ahead of them.
Well, see, this was the thing, we were very naive on this side of the channel. Now, remember, by the time we got over there. The war had been going on for 3 years, and you had the Battle of Verdun and the Somme where you had lost 20,000 people in one day. I think we were in it really for about a year. It took us a year to get everything together and get over there again. So
can't
what
get away from it.
You can't get away from that word. You start off with the reluctance of, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier, and now it's every time for every boy to be a soldier. And there was an Irving Berlin song called Will There Be Any Home Sweet Home When It's Over, over there.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to the point, and in a funny way, you've got a song written after the war. It's called How You Gonna Keep
Them Down on the Farm
after
they've seen Perry.
Right.
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry? How you gonna keep them away from Broadway, jabbing around and painting the town? How you gonna...
Dale, you brought a ukulele with you today, and I was hoping you could play a little from it and let us know. I mean, was this a very popular instrument during World War One?
It was, yes, it was, because it was just beginning its popularity. Where ukulele just became really popular was they had this international exhibit in San Francisco in 1915, the Pacific Pan American an exhibit from Hawaii, and they brought the ukuleles and stuff like that, and people just went crazy over them. And so everybody wanted to have a ukulele. Of course, the banjo, the mandolin, not so much guitar at those days, but that was very popular. And the ukulele was discovered, and they found out it was easy to make, easy to play, and it fit
And it's portable. It's very portable.
Yeah. And you would put this in your backpack and all this. I'm saying Katie and stuff like that, you know.
Can you play us a little something from the era?
Okay, this is a song. I'll just play the chorus of this.
What's it called?
It's called "What Are You Going to Do to Help the Boys?"
Okay.
Now, I don't have the sheet music to this, but I do have it on a 78 RPM record. You know, your patriotic songs, sometimes they were funny. This would be something you might even march to, because it's got that, you know, like, how are your levels? Here we go.
There you go.
Here's the chorus. What are you going to do for Uncle Sammy? What are you going to do to help the boys? If you mean to stay at home while they're fighting over the phone, the least that you can do is buy a Liberty Bond or two. If you're going to be a sympathetic miser, the kind that only lends a lot of noise, you're no better than the ones who love the Kaiser. Oh, what are you going to do to help the boys?
And that's something, it's a simple melody,
yeah.
And the lyrics are simple. Anybody can sing that. You don't have to be a professional singer.
Yeah.
Well, now here we are 100 years later, after the First World War. Do any of these songs, these popular songs from that era, do they still live on well in popular culture, or have we put them behind us?
Well, I think we probably put them behind us because, you know, they were in the context of the war.
That's musician Dale Evans, who is teaming up with singer-songwriter Hannah Kerrigan for a program entitled Music from the Great War, Saturday at 1 p.m. at the McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington. Admission is free. I'm Laura Kennedy.